Dating while feminist presents a unique contradiction. Desiring men while recognizing how that desire might perpetuate your own oppression. It's like trying to kiss someone while a cement mixer dumps raccoons on you, with society at the controls. We're cocooned in expectations, beauty standards, and patriarchal narratives that we must gradually shed through reading, therapy, and self-reflection. These manifest as pressure to partner by a certain age, messaging that successful women are intimidating, and the persistent myth that love should feel like a rom-com. Simply eliminating negativity doesn't create joy. That just achieves being chill, a state of emotional numbness often mistaken for enlightenment. Without cultural models of joyful romance, we must create our own by staying present and essentially making it up as we go. This might mean rejecting traditional dating scripts, celebrating small moments of connection, or finding pleasure in attraction itself. The key is opting into romance because it brings genuine happiness, not because society demands it or because your Instagram feed overflows with engagement photos. Crushes deserve celebration rather than dismissal. Think of them as precious gemstones, beautiful objects with rumored magical properties that simply bring pleasure. Like collecting trading cards or tending a garden, each crush is unique, requiring different kinds of attention and offering different rewards. Having multiple crushes creates a healthier dynamic than the laser-focused obsession many experience in adolescence, distributing emotional energy across multiple channels rather than concentrating it destructively on one person. These crushes aren't really about the person being crushed on. They're about accessing potential love energy within yourself using another person as catalyst. They involve imagination and projection, serving as mirrors for our own desires and growth. Using idle moments to envision entire relationship arcs serves as both mental practice and entertainment. In your mind, he's perfectly polite, free of subconscious misogyny, and texts back promptly, before his actual person-existing everydayness inevitably complicates things. Just as beauty standards politically sedate women, romance does the same thing. When obsessing over mixed signals from a guy, you're not focusing on the intersectional socialist matriarchal revolution. Society has always told women that finding a partner is paramount. Historically as economic necessity, now as constant cultural pressure. This propaganda forces women to think about romance constantly, in ways men don't, creating an extra mental burden. The scarcity principle, perpetuated by alarmist dating statistics, further panics women into focusing on romance instead of, say, unionizing. Women face a double bind. Punished for not having partners, but if they conform and spend time thinking about romance, they're labeled boy crazy. This patriarchal trap steals time that could be spent on literally anything else, from running for office to simply relaxing in a hot tub. Flirting is a delicate game of giving and interpreting signals that sustains entire rom-coms and brunches. Deciphering early signals is nearly impossible because they're either too subtle or entirely imagined. We're motivated to see signals that don't exist, partly because society bases women's worth on desirability, and partly because we view ourselves as protagonists. Women are socialized to read emotional cues, while men often miss them entirely. This uncertainty can be thrillingly addictive. Like Kate Bolick notes in Spinster, this brief period of romantic possibility was historically the only exciting year in a woman's life. If you need to analyze someone's texts to find hidden interest, they probably aren't into you. People who genuinely like you simply ask to hang out or say yes when you do. Touch is the most fundamental flirt, a gentle preview of potential physical intimacy. For respectful flirting, only initiate touch in appropriate contexts, follow an escalation pattern starting with non-threatening touches, and consider power dynamics. Flirt up rather than using structural privilege to make less privileged people uncomfortable. The quintessential question remains, was it a date? Smartphones and casual sex culture have blurred the lines between dating and hanging out. People either meet explicitly through apps or slide sideways into romantic situations with friends. Obsessing over whether something was a date is ultimately pointless. The word itself has become meaningless through shifting definitions. Dating apps offer the primary advantage of establishing upfront that you're definitely on a date. However, they also create problems: time constraints, the commodification of self, and the psychological burden of being judged primarily on appearance. Research shows too many choices make people less satisfied with their decisions, and endless swiping creates the illusion that a perfect match is always just one more profile away. The modern dating expectation of being chill, acting disinterested while actually obsessing, creates an absurd situation where anything that isn't chill becomes disproportionately significant. Women adopting chill behavior are essentially taking on traditionally masculine traits of emotional suppression, a pitfall of feminism that adopts failed masculine structures rather than creating new, more honest approaches. Women have historically been socialized to watch men do things rather than participate themselves. Claire V. Watkins' essay on pandering explores this watching boys do stuff phenomenon, a deeply ingrained gender dynamic where women often confuse artistic admiration with romantic interest. Nora Ephron's famous questioning of whether she wanted to be a journalist or date one exemplifies this common confusion, highlighting how women's ambitions can become tangled with their romantic attractions. While men occasionally date women they want to emulate, societal conditioning often leads insecure men to actively avoid successful women. When even self-proclaimed progressive men feel uncomfortable with successful female partners, women face a dramatically reduced dating pool. These insecure men might deploy various justifications, claiming they just want to feel masculine, avoid social judgment, or maintain traditional dynamics, but their behavior ultimately enforces patriarchal norms. Despite pervasive societal messages that women need romantic love to be complete, we are already full trees, self-actualized people operating at maximum capacity. While romantic love is dope as hell and can enhance life immensely, it's not the prerequisite for completeness that society often portrays it to be. Research demonstrates that our happiness largely revolves around our baseline happiness set point, which remains relatively stable regardless of relationship status. You don't need love to count as a human. You already are human, a bunch of insane neurons floating around in a body with decades to explore what kind of tree you are. The ubiquitous claim that you'll find love when you least expect it essentially polices women into suppressing their natural desires despite being socialized from childhood to seek partners. The reality is that finding meaningful love requires actual effort, opening yourself emotionally, making time for dating, and actively pursuing connection. The full tree metaphor reminds us that we're already whole, and anything we add to our lives should enhance, not complete, our existing abundance.